Thanks, Leo, to everybody that's going to bid here that, so they know the condition of things.
Could you mention something on the access?
Yeah, there isn't really legal access. There's a driveway permit for the lower houses, so you'd have to find out a way to provide access to the lots also.
Okay, thank you. And these lots are all zoned single-family residential lots. The way we're going to conduct this is, well, back up here a little bit. At the completion of the auction, the high bidder for each lot shall pay to the borough an earnest money deposit equal to 5% of the winning bid, together with cost of advertising for each lot, $213. So that needs to be paid to the borough finance office by cash, money order, or certified check no later than 12 noon, Tuesday, December 24th. Failure to make the required deposit by the specified time will result in the lots being forfeited by the winning bidder, and the lots will become available for sale over the counter at a future date to be determined by the assembly. And then the balance of the cash needs to be paid no later than 4 p.m. Monday, March 24th. So the way we're going to proceed with this is the manager will draw a lot number out of the bowl, and that's the lot we'll bid on first. And whoever wants to bid can stand and be recognized. The minimum bid is $6,000, and the increment it will be increased in is by $100 each bid. So that is the way. And then there seems to be a lag in the bidding. I'll call it three times, going once, going twice, the amount new to, and then we'll move to the next parcel. Anything I missed, Kathy?
Just anyone that's planning on bidding tonight, I need to have one of these that you've read the auction procedures and you understand what's happening. I need to have those before you place a bid. I have two right now, so if there's anyone else.
Anybody else in the audience interested? Okay, well, we'll draw the first name, Steve.
It's right here.
Lot number 5 is the first lot up for bid this evening. Do we have anybody interested with a minimum bid of $6,000? Okay. Seeing, do you want a bid? Can you stand and give your bid, Mr. Swanson? John?
Yes.
$6,000?
Yeah.
Okay, $6,000 is the bid for lot number 5. Is there any other bidders on lot number 5? No bidders on lot number 5. Lot number 5 is going for $6,000. Going once, going twice. Lot number 5 is sold to John Swanson for $6,000. Okay, draw the next one, please, Steve. Okay, lot number 3. Any bidders on lot number 3? John? Same thing, $6,000?
Yes.
You don't want to start at $6,500? Okay, we have a bid of $6,000 on lot 3 by Mr. Swanson. Any other bids on lot number 3?
Andy Kittums, $10,000.
Okay. Any other bids on lot number 3?
Yeah.
How much, Mr. Swanson? Would you like to up it? 12?
12.
Any other bids? We have a current bid by John Swanson for $12,000 for lot number 3. It's on block 263. How much?
Yeah, $15,000.
Andy Kittums has a bid of $15,000 for lot 3. Any other bids? Any other bids on lot number 3? It's at $15,000. Mr. Swanson?
$15,100.
Here we go. $15,100 by John Swanson. Any other bids on lot number 3?
$16,000.
Okay. $16,000 is the bid currently on lot number 3 by Andy Kittums. Any other bids on lot number 3? Excuse me. $16,100 is the bid by John Swanson on lot 3. Any other bids? Mr. Kittums? Current bid of $17,000 by Andy Kittums, and that is on lot 3 on block 263. Any other bids?
$18,000.
Okay, we have a current bid of $18,000 on lot 3. Any other bids?
$19,000.
Now up to $19,000 by Andy Kittums. Any other bids? $20,000 by John Swanson for lot number 3 on block 263. Any other bids?
$21,000
for lot number 3 by Andy Kittums. Current bid.
$22,000
that's up to by John Swanson. Any change in the bid? $22,000 going once.
$23,000.
Okay, $23,000 is the bid by Andy Kittums.
$24,000.
Okay, the bid is up to $24,000 by John Swanson. Any change to the bid? $24,000 to John Swanson going once. Going twice. Sold to John Swanson for $24,000. That is lot 3. Okay, Mr. Giesbrick, will you draw the next one? Lot 2. Do we have a starting bid for lot number 2? Minimum bid $6,000.
$6,000.
We have a bid by John Swanson for lot 2 of
$6,000. Let's go $15,000.
The bid is up to $15,000 by Andy Kittums.
$16,000
is the bid by John Swanson.
Let's go $20,000.
The bid is $20,000 by Andy Kittums.
$21,000.
Current bid is $21,000 for lot 2 on block 263 in Petersburg, and that's by John Swanson. $21,000 going once.
$23,000
by Andy Kittums.
$24,000.
The bid is now $24,000 by John Swanson. $24,000 going once. $24,000 going twice. The lot 2 is sold to John Swanson for $24,000. Okay, that leaves us with one left. Lot number 4. Do you have an opening bid for lot 4?
$6,000.
Opening bid by John Swanson of
$6,000.
Next bid for lot number 4 is $20,000 by Andy Kittums.
$21,000.
The bid is $21,000 by John Swanson. Is there any other bids?
$23,000.
It's $23,000 by Andy Kittums. Is there any more bids on lot number 4? $24,000 for lot 4 by John Swanson. $24,000 the bid by John Swanson, going once, going twice. Lot number 4 sold to John Swanson. Okay. I'm sure you've got all that written down, Kathy, so you don't have to go through my chicken scratch here, but I'm just trying to keep track. Okay, thank you. That moves us to the next item on our agenda under public hearings and bid awards, and that is a public hearing on ordinance number 2013-22, an ordinance providing for a fine schedule for the municipal code and including a section addressing injunctive and civil relief. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to talk about ordinance 2013-22? This is the second reading, so it is the public hearing. Okay, seeing no interest in the public hearing on ordinance 2013-22, we will move to the next item on our agenda, and that is the bid award for the drive-down facility project. Six bids were received and opened on December 6, 2013 for this project. Tamiko Incorporated was deemed the lowest responsive bidder. bidding the total project, including all added alternatives, at $7,775,625. Intent to award the project to Tamiko was issued on December 9th. I would entertain a motion to award this bid.
So moved.
Tamiko.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Wallhooter and seconded by Member Hogue to award this bid for the drive down facility. What's that?
Nothing.
Oh. To Tamiko Incorporated. Any discussion? Any discussion on this? Clerk, call the roll.
John Haberlett.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
And Mark.
Yes. Okay, the bid for the drive-down facility is awarded to Tamiko Incorporation for $7,775,625. That's a good deal. Okay, any visitors' views related to this evening's agenda?
Yes, I'd like to speak on 16B, if I could, please.
Sure, could you please come to the podium and state your name and who you represent, please?
My name is David Whitethorn. I'm representing FO Scrap tonight on 16B, if I could, please.
You bet.
On 16B, you have something here on the salvage permits. That's what I'd like to discuss, and I don't know if you want to wait until then.
No, this would be the proper time.
I'm just curious what 16B is. You know, I hear rumors, or maybe they ain't rumors, that they want to delete part of this completely. I don't know if that's what's going on or not.
There is a recommendation by, well, let me back up a minute here. It says the Assembly passed Ordinance 2013-17 in its final reading on December 2nd, 2013. There was not a clear direction to the staff if the Assembly wanted to further discuss the community's salvaging program and or hold a public hearing on the program. To aid the Assembly in discussion, Public Works Director Hagerman has provided an information and recommendation report, the current salvaging permit, and a proposed revised written salvage program. That's in our agenda this evening. And I believe what you're talking about is the potential of the salvaging like it is for profit by people in the community to not be allowed.
Yes.
In this recommendation. That is in this recommendation.
Okay. I guess I'll wait until 16B and see what you guys come up with.
Under 16B, that's basically just for council discussion, but if you'd like to talk to this after we discuss it, that would...
Well,
I guess if you don't know, if you haven't read what was recommended by the...
That I don't have.
Public Works Director.
What was recommended, if they're trying to discontinue this program completely, I was here for the reading, on the second reading when it was passed, to recommend that the vouchers be raised from $5 for 2 days to $10. And now I understand or hear that they want to maybe delete the salvage completely. There's considerable amount of money that has come into the community. I don't know that I've brought into the community on my own. Not, I can't speak for the rest of them, but a lot of that money has been donated back into the community. If that salvage wasn't there, I wouldn't donate that money. I wouldn't have that option to donate that kind of money. I donated to Swim Club, Chamber of Commerce, several people in town that could use the money, but without this salvage, that money couldn't be donated out to these people or these different, even to the Boy Scouts. So I just think that there should be some public input on this, and before the council or this borough assembly makes a decision of eliminating the salvage on that dump facility. I would estimate between $60,000 and $80,000 comes out of there that comes back into the community and circulates right here. It don't leave our community, it stays right here. And so that's all I've got.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Wakehorn, a question. Lily, approximately how much out of that $60,000 goes back to these other organizations?
Well, I can give you what I've donated back, but I can't speak for anybody else. But I know that majority of that money stays in our community, and as you guys are all aware, that every dollar spent here circulates so much. I probably donate 10,000 of it back.
What do you think your share of that 60 is?
20%?
Yeah.
Okay. So a significant number.
It's a significant number that stays in our community. And yeah, there's quite a chunk of money that stays around. If I didn't have this money out of there, I wouldn't donate it back to what I couldn't afford to do it. But I can actually even, I wouldn't show you the checks who I wrote them to, but I know four cancer patients that I've donated to. Three of them ain't here no more, but that's, you know. But there's a lot of money that's donated back into the community. And the one fellow that works with me, he donates all his money to Salvation Army. So, and it's quite a chunk of money. I know these young guys here got quite a pile up there once in a while that we will pick up the aluminum and put it over into either Close Up or the Boy Scouts or one of them that are either trying to go to Washington, D.C. or someplace. Okay. So,
John, did you know?
We even get people that donate to us at my shop, and we donate it back into the community one way or another. We don't put it in our pockets, much of it. But it does cost us $5,000 just to do this. By the time we pay freight to get it on AML out of here, and the amount of money that we've invested in it to get what we spread around. So I'd like you guys to consider that before you guys make a recommendation on it.
Yeah, Mr. Hull, you have a question?
Yeah, Hull, the other view is that this is revenue producing also for the borough.
Oh, and sure it is.
And since it's come into the borough, it's on the borough's landfill as opposed to going to, say, a private entity that's advertising to collect scrap. Shouldn't the borough, on behalf of its citizens, sell that as part of its recycling and help its recycling costs?
Well, what we're doing is separating out the high-dollar stuff, which would be the copper, brass, aluminum, stainless, which you're going to get as a bid from a bidder, such as Channel Construction or Pool out of Ketchikan. You're going to get a bid of, I believe it was $67.50 a ton. They're not betting that there's a bunch of copper in it. They're not betting there. They're going to give you bottom dollar because they're only going to get between $200 and $300 a ton for steel. If there's extra stuff there, Pool or Channel Construction or whoever your bidder is going to come out further ahead. But if you take that $100,000 worth of good stuff out, they're still going to give you $67 or $30 a ton. You're not going to gain anything, but you're going to lose that money that stayed here in the community. If we take it out and give it to whoever, they're not going to give you any more. They're going to bid on it for $30 a ton or $60 a ton. I would say we probably take $10,000 out and pay you guys again to deliver 2,800 pounds back out of 10,000. I don't have the numbers, but I could get the numbers for you. Because we're weighed, every time we go out of the dump, we're weighed. And then what we don't sell, we bring back up and we pay the dump another 8 cents a pound to get it back in. So,
any other questions of Ole while he's at the podium?
Okay.
Thank you, Ole.
Thanks.
Okay. Push too many buttons here. Okay, we're on visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Anybody else in the audience have any views unrelated to this evening's agenda? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to visitors' views related to the agenda. Well, hang on a second. I know that's where we're at, but this is... Okay, now I'm on the right page. I have to have one of the kids come up and do this. Okay, visitors' views unrelated to the agenda. Under that, it's the Scout Troop 24 presentation on aluminum recycling program. Good timing after.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My name is Jeff Erickson, and I'm a Scoutmaster of Troop 24 in Petersburg. We're here tonight to attend this meeting as part of a requirement for the Citizenship and the Community Merit Badge. And I thought I'd like to take this time to brief you on our Scout Recycling Program. The Scout Recycling Program is a passive fundraiser that goes on year-round. The citizens of the borough bring their aluminum cans to the collection site, and this provides a substantial amount of revenue for all scouting programs in Petersburg, which includes the Girl Scouts, the Cub Scouts, and the Boy Scouts. The only other fundraisers that the Scouts are involved in are the cookies for the Girl Scouts and the popcorn sales for the Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts. The funds for the recycling are very important to our groups. In the past, the collection sites have been dumpsters located by the coal storage and adjacent to the baler facility. The dumpsters aren't the best way to collect aluminum cans. They are hard to unload, and people tend to use them to throw garbage in. We would like to implement a new recycling program, and we would like to make sure that with the borough changing their garbage collection, that our recycling program stays intact. And we're proposing to build a new recycling depot to better facilitate the moving of aluminum cans and to contain the cans while they accumulate. And we're working with Carl Hegeman on the design. It will be simple to put the aluminum in and easy for us to get the aluminum out. The best way for us to receive cans is in the form of bags, and it's just easier for us to transport the cans out to AML in this way. The community support is much appreciated, and each of the Scouts would like to say a little thing about recycling facts that they've learned over the last few days.
My name is Nicholas Larson, and I represent Troop 24. The fact that I'm going to say is, at one point, aluminum was more valuable than gold.
My name is Van Abbott, and I'm going to say used aluminum beverage cans are the most recycled item in the U.S., but other types of aluminum, such as siding, gutters, car components, storm window frames, and lawn furniture, can also be recycled.
I'm Brandon Ware, and more aluminum goes into beverage cans than any other product.
I am Britton Erickson, and I'm here to inform you that a used aluminum can be recycled and back on the grocery shelf as a new can in as little as 60 days. That's closed-loop recycling at its finest.
My name is Gus Fry, and an aluminum can that can be thrown away will still be a can 500 years from now.
My name is Anders Christensen, and there is no limit to the amount of times that an aluminum can be recycled. I'm Adam Meyer. We use over 80 billion aluminum soda cans every year.
I'm Stuart Madolin. Recycling one aluminum can saves enough energy to run a TV for 3 hours, or the equivalent of a half a gallon of gasoline.
I'm Charlie Christensen, and because so many of them are recycled, aluminum cans can account less than 1% of the total U.S. waste stream, according to the EPA estimates.
The mission of the Boy Scouts of America is to prepare young people to make ethical and moral choices over their lifetimes. I am proud to be the Scoutmaster of this great group of kids, and we appreciate the support of the community. And thank you for the assembly for listening to us tonight.
Thank you for your presentation, you guys. It was
good. You're excellent.
Skipper, what are you going to make Eagle?
Hopefully this year.
Congratulations. He's a life scout. That's one below.
Thanks for coming, Jeff.
Thank you.
Let the troop clear out. There goes half our audience.
It was a snowy night. I was impressed with the number of people that were here.
Yeah. Okay, next on visitors' views, unrelated to the agenda, is John Glenn from Stikine River Forest Products, LLC, who wants to give a little production to the assembly.
Mr. Mayor, Assemblymen, Assemblywomen, citizens of the Petersburg Borough. My name is John Glenn, and I've been working on a full manufacturing project for Southeast Alaska off and on for the last 16 years. Because of several governmental decisions on the Tongass National Forest, environmental concerns, economic disasters, first in the Japanese market in 1997, and most recently here in the United States, with a definite world impact, the process has taken much longer and far more expensive than I had ever imagined. This evening, I want to announce the decision to build in Petersburg has been made. And though we are in the final processes of our financial package and nothing is a sure thing until the ink dries, it is time to publicly announce our plans. I have contacted several property owners, and we are in the process of sending offers or accepting offers of sale. I have been working with engineers over the past couple of years on the design and the machinery companies to determine the best fit for the available timber fiber currently and into the future. The mill will be built in two stages. First stage will include a full breakdown large log mill capable of manufacturing 100,000 board feet per shift, supported by dry kilns capable of drying 80% of that production, a planer line to surface the dry and green material from the mill, and a cogen plant to produce power and heat for the kilns and mill buildings. Our hope is to sell the excess power to SEPA. Phase two will be basically an efficient small log processing line that can handle material from a 4-inch minimum diameter to a maximum diameter of 16 inches. This line will help the Forest Service in its directive to move some of its production into a young growth production. I have mixed feelings on the timing and volume of this directive, but also know that for the forest management, young growth will be a large factor. The building timeline will be 18 to 24 months, and I hope to start this in the spring. The employment of the project for the building side is undetermined at this time, but the mill will employ from 35 to 50 full-time workers on a 10-month year minimum and hopefully stretch to an 11-month year. I have deep roots here in Petersburg, and I am pleased to have the opportunity to bring economic diversification back to Petersburg and help revitalize the timber industry here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn. Is there any questions of Mr. Glenn by the
assembly.
Well, where are you looking at constructing the mill, Mr. Glenn?
We have located a piece of property up near the airport that is suitable and is in the in your how do I say that, industrial zoning.
Right. Yes. And it's close to power? Or?
Power and water are there.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Cindy?
What kind of volume do you need to have harvested a year to be able to maintain your mill and also produce power?
Okay, the power side, I'll start with the timber volume. Our current specifications are about 100,000 feet per day, and if you run that on a 10-month, that works out to about 20 million board feet. As far as the power side of it, our byproduct is what we'll use to power up the cogen facility from the planer shavings, hog fuel, bark. So those, and then the chips, of course, will be sold down to pulp mills.
Okay. So your question, Cindy?
It does.
Any other questions of Mr. Glenn?
I'm sorry, do you need anything from the town as far as any infrastructure assistance or, and the other thing that's follow-up is, are you looking at developing any, creating any pellets or not getting into that?
Okay, as far as infrastructure from the city, I've had several meetings with Mr. Hagerman, and I've also been in contact with your power authority, Joe Nelson, and there are a few things that the city will have to help address at the site as far as possibility for sewer. There is the power side of it. We need to understand what the transformers and different things are, and possibly somewhere in the future some road increases because it's basically on the back haul road.
Oh, right.
Okay. As far as pellets, it's my feeling, my personal feeling, and also from some of the others in the Forest Service, that pellets in Southeast Alaska in a rainforest doesn't mix.
Right.
It just takes too much to dry it. Yeah. When you get them dry and pressed, and now they go back to drawing moisture and they expand, and it's just a nightmare. So, in my opinion, pellets is not a viable option.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Any other questions? Okay, thanks, John.
Thank you.
See you next time you come to town. Okay, that brings us to board, commission, and committee reports. Consent agenda, approval of amendment number 1 to the land lease agreement between the borough and GCI Communication Corporation. Last February, GCI and the borough entered into the second 5-year term of a 55-year land lease for property located on Augusta Street. The building located on the land was built by GCI and stores communication equipment. Since the assembly approved a new annual rate back in February, it was discovered that the original lease required GCI to pay annual rental fees on not only the property it has leased, but also on the improvements that GCI had built upon the land. This is not consistent with other land leases held by the borough. The proposed amendment in this package corrects the discrepancy in the original lease, provides GCI with the same provisions of other borough leases, and sets the annual lease rate renewal at $3,500, 10% of the land value, not the with improvements. So I'd entertain a motion to approve this amendment.
I move that we approve amendment number 1 to the land lease agreement between the borough and GCI.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Walhooter to approve the approval of amendment number 1 to the land lease with GCI and the borough. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
John Heberlick?
Yes.
John Hogue?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
And Mark?
Yes. Okay, the amendment was passed 6-0. Next item, acceptance of fiscal year 14 interlibrary cooperation grant for $16,940. This grant from the Alaska State Library allows our library to join the Alaska Digital Archives and hire part-time staff on contract to scan and catalog photographs from a limited number of tribal members. I'd entertain a motion to accept this interlibrary cooperation grant.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved by Member Hogue, Member Havlicek, seconded by Member Strand to acceptance of the fiscal year 14 interlibrary cooperative grant for $16,940. Any discussion? I've got a question. This is basically just a one-time thing, and for this cause, and then it's not like we're putting anybody on staff. Is that
okay? Yeah, it's just a one-time only.
Okay.
The grant actually runs out at the end of June 2014.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
John Poe?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Haberlin?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
And Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. It passes 6-0. Now we're on to report of other officers. It's indoor skate facility. Parks and Recreation Director Don Hayes will provide a verbal report on his findings for providing an indoor skate/skateboard facility. Don, do you have a microphone there?
I do.
Okay.
Mayor, Assembly members, about a month ago I was approached by Assemblyman Woolhooter and Manager Giesbrecht about a thought that was going around in the community of using the old fire hall as a skateboarding area. I met with Assemblyman Woolhooter, Matt Garretts, and then also Chief Swihart just after that to discuss the possibility and also look at the facility and see if there are any concerns. We decided, first of all, the first thing that we needed to really find out was what the effect as far as sound would be on the two departments that would be beside it, number one being the police department, then also the finance department. And so this past Wednesday, I got a couple of skateboarders together. I let Chief Swihart and also Manager Giesbrecht know what I was going to be doing, but then we didn't let any of the other staff know. And so we brought the skateboarders in. They skated around. I stepped into the manager's office to chat with him for a bit and just to kind of see if I could hear anything. We weren't able to hear anything in there. It was pretty mellow. We stepped into the police department and they didn't notice anything either. Now, I only had two skateboarders. At some point, if the assembly would like to see us continue to look at this, I'd probably bring a bigger group in there and also a piece of equipment for them to skate on to see if the additional people would cause more noise. Just to make sure that that doesn't become an issue. But at this moment, there hasn't been any issue as far as noise. I do have some concerns still about this opportunity. I've kind of put them in my report for you. They're pretty straightforward. There's access to the school district's equipment, which is upstairs. There's safety concerns as far as being able to access possibly the police department. From the upstairs door, there's just a wooden door that accesses into their staff training rooms and also their offices. There's electrical board there where it has easy access for you to be able to get in and out of, to be able to turn breakers on and off of buildings. We'd have to shut that down. I don't know about the hoses that are in the fire department hall, whether they're primed or not. I mean, if you can be able to turn those on, you'd have easy access to a fire hose, which may not be all that enjoyable. So there's also, you know, insurance, those types of things that really comes down to once we get all those kind of figured out, at what point do we start construction on this building if we do can start construction on this building. So basically, my question to the assembly is, would you have me continue looking at this as a possibility? And do you see this as a viable option for our skateboarders to be doing something indoors?
Anybody on the assembly have a response? John?
I would like a recommendation from you and the manager on this.
Any other
discussion on this report by Don Hayes? Mr. Walhuter?
I might as well say something here, seeing how I kind of got this ball rolling. I was talking with some of the boarders with where the skate park is now. For a lot of you that don't know, it's out in the weather. It's unusable this time of year for the most part. There's too much snow on it or rain or wet slippery or anything, but that sort of thing. And so we were talking about where could we put this facilities or what could we do with the facilities up there to make it more usable for these young, you know, people to use and give them something to do. And the old fire hall came to mind. So we started pursuing that direction. I knew it was not going to be without some sort of hurdles to jump over, but we just weren't sure how much we had to jump over and how many more we still have to jump. But I would like to see us continue to pursue this till we come to a dead end where we just it's an obvious conclusion that this just isn't going to work because it's just going to cost too much or there's just some things that we can't overcome. So, I mean, that would be my vote. Give the kids something else to do.
Cindy?
I have a question for you. Is the intention that this would be a permanent facility?
Only as long as it was available. And we understand that all of that equipment up there is movable. You know, we're talking with Donnie Hayes and talking with some of the kids that have actually used these pieces of equipment, they said they could be disassembled and taken away in a half a day. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong on that. Say a day even. Let's just give it a whole day. So it wouldn't have to be permanent. It would just be a temporary. And it just seemed like it would be a great facility. And it wouldn't be open all day long, and it wouldn't be open all night long. There would be parameters on when they could use it. When school's in session there, you wouldn't be able to use it. But maybe right after the school is out, maybe up until 6 o'clock or whenever you don't have supervision available. You know, just give them another opportunity, a little window of opportunity, you know, throughout the day or throughout the week. Wouldn't have to be every day either. Just, you know, probably would be probably used more if it wasn't open every day, if it was open every other day or two days a week or something, you know what I mean? So anyway, it's just a thought, trying to provide opportunity, indoor opportunity.
Any other? Mr. Howard?
Mr. Mayor, I just reviewing Donnie's comments and going through the facility and the potential liabilities and and I know the skate park outside is horrible, because you know, have little slides going down in I beams, which isn't ideal. But I just don't see this working, and I don't want to see Donnie and the manager and going through an exercise that is not going not going to be really useful. And I would like to move to not have us put a skate park there.
So got a question for Mr. Hall. Was your was that a motion that you made? I guess it was. There was no second. This is just kind of a discussion between Donnie. So you all want to make a motion then, Mr.
Yes, Howard? I wanted to make a motion that we not pursue this.
Is there a second?
I'll second for purpose of discussion.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Havlick, seconded by Member Hoag to not have a skate park in the old fire hall in the municipal building. Discussion.
I still would like to hear from Donnie and from
get a recommendation
on this.
Cindy?
And before we get a recommendation, there are three things that you listed in your bullet points that I have concerns about. One is additional janitorial costs. Mm-hmm. One is additional maintenance costs. And the other one is the liability issue. I don't know how this fits in your budget, so I would want to hear how this fits into the Parks and Rec budget. And I would like to see them flesh out some of these questions and then evaluate whether or not we would approve and not approve.
Mr. Mayor, may I?
Yes.
Exactly correct. I can't give a recommendation at this point. I think Donnie and I were trying to get a feeling on, do you want us to spend more time on this? The issues are really liability. We already have liability coverage on the existing skate park. I don't think it would be any different inside, but we'd need to verify that with our carrier just to be sure. We do need, we have to spend some money on the door that goes into the police station. That we can't risk. So that would have to be, we have to get a price on what would it take to really secure that down. We need to talk to the school, make sure they don't have any issues with, they've got an active facility going on in there right now. You know, we'd need to make sure they were cool with anything we do, since they've kind of first rights of refusal, I guess you could say. And the last piece is we'd have to work out something with the skateboard, somebody in the skateboarding group that could supervise.
Right.
You know, we don't have the staff to put somebody down there, you know, unless the assembly wants us to hire somebody or pay overtime or something. So we would need some kind of commitment slash schedule from whoever, you know, an adult that's going to supervise them and keep an eye on it. If we work through those questions, we can come back with something and make a recommendation one way or the other. I couldn't do it right now.
To Mr. Hogue.
Question, Mr. Manager. How much would this be impacted by a potential rehabbing of this whole facility?
The minute the rehab was to begin, this would have to stop. I mean, we couldn't have...
And so we'd be spending money on something that might have to stop in the very near future.
The depends on the funding. If the legislature funds, let's say that the legislature gives us the rest of the money to build the police station, we would get the money, give or take, July, August, and would go through a bid process that, you know, 3-4 months after that, we would start preparing for, you know, bids to be received and that kind of stuff. So you're looking at a facility that, you know, shortest case would be available from now until, you know, let's say September. Longer term could be much longer than that if the funding doesn't come through.
Nancy?
So if we move the equipment down here, this means they're not going to use the skate park up at the ball field again?
I think the proposal is only for the wintertime, but then during the summertime to move the equipment back up to the facility up by the ball field.
Was there any offer of assistance by the skate group to do this, was to help move the equipment is one question, or is the borough going to incur more expense, which would probably come out of your budget, I would imagine, if it's a park and rec thing. And is there room in your budget to afford something like that, or would we have to approve a supplemental budget?
There's two parts to that question, in my view.
The
budget part, the answer is no. There's no room in my budget for me to be. I've pretty well line-itemed out every single penny and cent that I have to make sure that I know exactly where it's going and what it's doing. And I have not budgeted for something like this. But, on the other hand, Matt Garretts has said that he would be willing to help move this equipment in there. And they would help with any needs that are there. So there has been an offer there. But as far as if it cost us, my department, to do any work in there, to purchase doors or closing things in or janitorial, the honest answer is that there's no money right there. We are actually going to be over on our janitorial costs this year because of the fact that the bids that came in for my department were above and beyond what we've paid in the past.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Haviland?
Yeah, Mr. Haviland, I was just wondering, Donnie, how many people are in the skater community?
That's a good question. I don't have a good answer for you. I know a couple of guys in the Coast Guard that are fairly avid skateboarders. I've had a couple of young men, two young men that have come and actually talked to me about this opportunity. And then I've had Matt Garretts, and so those are really the only five people that have really come and talked to me much about it. But I don't have a firm number on that.
Thank you.
Any other questions of Donnie Hayes or the manager? Okay, so there's a motion on the floor to not allow the skateboard park in the old fire hall in the municipal building. But it sounds like the consensus of the assembly was to get recommendations from and cost estimates from the manager, or is that?
I don't know. I do not have that today.
Okay. Kathy.
I just have to say something, hasn't it?
It has to be a positive. As a clerk, I shouldn't say a word, but if you guys are going to provide an indoor for skateboarders, I think there's a lot more Little Leaguers in this community that would like an indoor Little League facility like Juno. You're talking about numbers there, probably in the hundreds of kids that play Little League compared to your skateboarders. Just want you to take that into consideration.
It's quite a few years back on the council of trying to get the old swimming pool revamped to do it, and that was looked structurally sound if you give an inspection, but we actually paid to have an engineer look at it, and it would have cost a lot of money. So then again, it was a cost to the community, so that's probably what we're looking at here. So any more discussion? Clerk call.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. I have one for City Manager and Donnie Hayes. You guys have time in your day to put some consideration to this, or you guys would have to work overtime to do this?
No, and I hope I didn't sound that way.
Yeah,
but
I just want to clarify that. Yeah, no. Reality is, you know, we can, without spending any money, bring you some numbers if that's what you want to do. I mean, now, I want to be careful how I say that. The janitorial, we can ask what they would charge us to keep those bathrooms up. We can ask our building maintenance, you know, for a recommendation on what it would cost to, you know, secure that door to the police station. And we could talk to Matt about, you know, is he willing to provide the adult supervision or the Coast Guard guys, whatever. Doesn't cost Donnie and I other than a little bit of time, and you know, we're exempt from overtime, so not a big deal.
So then my next question to you, Mr. Manager, is that Donnie, would you guys be willing to just look into that and just see? And then bring us back some numbers, or would you guys just rather not?
Well, I am more than happy to look into it if, as an assembly, you guys feel that it is a valid thing that we look into. And I'm more than happy to look into it, but if... At the same time, as long as we understand that any costs that would be, you know, that we would have to be something that would be additional above and beyond, you know, the Parks and Recreation budget. So, and then when I mean costs for maintenance or for changes to the facility, not my time or your staff or anything like that.
Cindy, you got something else?
I'm trying to figure out how there could be a way to do this, and wondering if it would be fair and equitable and possible to charge a fee for the use of this facility, recognizing that it's only going to be used for a short period of time, and then the building is probably going to become something else.
Anything's possible. I mean, I can't speak for the skateboarders.
Yeah, who's going to collect the fee?
Nancy, and you had a...
The numbers, I don't... Even if you collected a fee, if you're collecting it from five users, it doesn't seem feasible.
Okay, so as it stands...
But it would be interesting to see some...
Well, as it stands, figures. We have a motion on the floor, if I'm not mistaken, Kathy, to not have a skateboard facility in the old fire hall. Is that the...
Yes, not to pursue the skateboarding...
So, if there's no offers of amendment to that, then that is what we're voting on. So, a yes vote would allow it, so we could pursue it farther, or a no vote would not allow it, period, right?
Can't we
just the opposite?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm mistaken.
Isn't the motion to not?
Not allow.
So, an affirmative vote would not let the skate park continue.
We can also table it until we have more information, can't we?
I don't see why we couldn't do that. That could be a Kathy.
If you want to put it in a positive form, if you want to be parliamentary,
you have to have a positive. Mm-hmm. Correct.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Good point, Matt.
Hate parliamentary procedure. So actually, to be in the positive form, it'd be like you said. The motion would be to pursue placing a skateboard in the old.
So the maker of the motion and the second, were you willing to
Yeah, I'm positive. I don't want to waste the city manager and Donnie's time to do this. But I would change the motion to pursue having a skateboard facility in the fire hall.
I knew you'd change your mind. Does the second agree with?
Second rules to get this over with.
Okay, yes. Good idea. We worked, yeah. Okay, so.
John, I never thought I'd hear you say that.
Will the clerk call the roll? Any other discussion? Yeah. We got to move along. We got a lot of stuff to do. Any? No other discussion. Clerk call the roll.
John Pope.
No.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Peverlin.
No.
Mark.
No.
Kurt.
Yes.
And Nancy.
No.
It fails 4-2, so that's where that stands. Okay, that moves us on to the mayor's report, and we're seeking letters of interest. Philip Beardsley has given verbal notice of his resignation from the hospital board to board president Tom Abbott. Letters of interest to fill the vacancy may be submitted to the mayor or clerk at post office box 329 in Petersburg. The individual appointed to the vacancy will serve until the October 2014 municipal election. So we're seeking people that are interested in that position. Next item on the mayor's report is appointments to the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. Ketchikan and Wrangell have both made their annual appointments to this position. This coming year, both the City of Ketchikan has appointed as voting members Lou Williams III and Bob Sievertson, with alternates Charles Freeman and Andy Donato. Wrangell has appointed Brian Ashton and Christy Jamison as voting members, and Clay Hammer and Don McConaughey Sr. as alternates. In the past, the Petersburg voter was Joe Nelson, the alternate was John Jensen. Without objection from the Assembly, I would like to reappoint them for this next year on the SEPA board. Okay, seeing no objection from the Assembly, Kathy, that is what we'll do. And I believe they're at a meeting in Ketchikan today and tomorrow. Another thing I wanted to bring up was last year, right after the election, we formed a Sea Otter Committee. There's a few things that may have changed in the dynamics of things, and the chair of that is Mr. Walhooter. And I was wondering if he had any intention to possibly get the committee together to, if they would look into things. Since last January, there is new wording in the significantly altered regulation. I'm not sure what they are. Also talking with some local fishermen, there's been gooey duck grounds that have been, by sea otters, have caused to be non-productive. I'd be interested to know if that is factual. I believe it is. And also, I think Senator Stebbins' sea otter bill might get reworded this year, as I feel that's worth looking into. I think we need to keep this issue something we keep track of what's going on and see if we feel there's a comment we need to make. So if the chair thinks of the committee thinks it's worthwhile to maybe look into some of those things, Kurt?
Yeah, you bet, Mr. Mayor, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Keep pushing too many buttons, bear with me. Borough offices will be closed as follows for the holidays. Closing at noon, Tuesday, December 24th, reopening Thursday, December 26th. Closed Wednesday, January 1st, 2014. The next assembly meeting will be held Monday, January 6th at noon. Also, the meeting between the work session between the medical center and the assembly was canceled due to lack of people that should have been being able to be in town. There's a couple of dates that the medical center has presented to us to see if that would work out, and it's January 7th and 9th. Time of day hasn't been picked. I know Nancy responded and said she's busy on the 9th.
Noon on the 9th, yes.
Noon on the 9th. I would prefer something later in the day instead of right in the middle of the day, personally, but and I would like to attend this work session. Should we respond to one of the two dates to the medical center? Mr. Holger, are you going to be gone as well?
I get back on the 8th, planes running and all that, so late on the 9th would be fine.
Okay, does that work for you, Nancy, if we have it later on the day on the 9th, like 4 o'clock or something? Or?
How long is this meeting going to take? 4 o'clock, it's dark.
Yeah.
It matters to me.
Oh, well.
So, I guess whatever is the majority decides is going to be fine, but I don't want to start at 7 at night.
I have a feeling that this could take some time, but maybe I'm wrong because there has been discussions between Sue Flint, who we appointed to have discussions with Tom Abbott, and it seems like, you know, they may have gone over things and have some things ironed out, but that's yet to be seen. I haven't been involved in any of these discussions. How about 3 o'clock on the 9th? Does that work? You'd be done with your other meeting by then, Nancy?
Yeah.
Work for everybody that can be here, and like Member Logadoc has said, that, you know, if we all can't be here, it still has to come back before the assembly before there's any direction given. Okay, that brings us to the manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Joe Nelson and his staff are working on incorporating maybe a more detailed capital project plan into the electric rate study. We'll get that back to the consultants, and hopefully that will help in the question that came up about what is the appropriate fund balance for the electric utility. Chief Swihart attended the CCAD meeting in Juneau on the 21st of November and the Executive Development Conference December 3rd to the 6th in Anchorage. CCAD is planning to a letter to Alaska DOT in an effort to partner with the Marine Highway System to try to interdict illegal controlled substances being transported on the ferries. Continue to work with postal inspectors and their involvement here in town have continued to result in seizures at the post office. Federal agencies have expressed an interest in bringing the Safe Streets program to Petersburg. If that was to happen, and the designation that comes along with that, we give Kelly's department a little more direct access to federal agencies that are involved in the drug interdiction efforts. So something we'll know more about as the process goes through. But unfortunately, we continue to have some pretty major drug issues that his department and the community are having to deal with. We have had the municipal building complex and the surrounding borough property surveyed as part of the pending proposed renovation. This will allow the architect to know exactly where the property lines are and make sure we understand all the easements and right-of-ways that they go through parking lots and around the building itself. Fire, EMS, and search and rescue are recruiting, so anybody that wants a big challenge, talk to an existing volunteer or show up at the fire hall, and we'll be happy to tell you all about it. The Aquatic Center will be closed December 14th through the 22nd. It's our annual cleaning, pools been drained, clean all the tiles and floors, get them waxed and buffed so that we can be open for the Christmas break for the kids and everybody. Recycling program changes are moving forward. Carl has met with PIA to discuss the new details of the system, and they're meeting with their staff to discuss any required changes to make our new system work. We are expecting to begin rolling out public information in January with a target date of the commingled recycling to begin in February. Carl, I've asked Carl to work on getting a demolition estimate for the Treem House on Wrangell in the event that the owners do not take some action on their own. Just wanted to thank the Building Maintenance Department for all their work decorating the manor. It makes their lives very bright and cheery. And also special thanks to everyone in the community who donated money to purchase and install a walk-in hydrojet tub at the manor. Petersburg Rotary Club provided the last of the funds necessary to get the project completed. And we are back to full occupancy at Mountain View Manor with 10 people on the waiting list for assisted living. It's caused some frustration because the waiting list is as long as it is, it's a sign that we got a really good facility. Sales Tax Committee continues to meet. However, at this time, they don't have any recommendations for the assembly. They're planning on meeting again on January 3rd at noon to discuss senior exemptions. Admin and finance staffs are working on updating the job descriptions throughout the borough. This is in preparation for getting comparative data for the upcoming PMEA contract negotiations. We're looking, give or take, about 60 job descriptions and then gathering compensation and benefit data from our list of communities in Southeast and Prince William Sound. The installation of the community art at the new library is in process. Stained glass piece by Polly Lee and Deb McMahon was the first installed. As we speak, it's been pieces from Susan Christensen, Beth Floor, Ross Nenuk III, Polly Kieneman, Joe Vignicki, Doris Olson, and Pia Riley are all in the process of being installed. Public art at the new library was funded entirely by local donations, so it makes it even more special. Replacement and upgrade of the alarm system at the high school community gym is scheduled to take place over the Christmas break. In addition, building maintenance has installed some new wiring and security cameras at the community gym, and we are still working with AP&T for an estimate on installing cameras inside and outside of the library. The North Harbor main float number one is in place, and a great deal of the work has been completed on the approach dock to get ready for the ramp and the utilities. They're working on the water main installation along the float, and we're waiting on the next series of deliveries for the float number two, scheduled for installation after the holidays. Is that still on? Cool. We have some parking changes, which is always interesting here. Long-term harbor parking will be closed at the north end of to stage materials for Rasmus Inge Bridge and the areas behind the community cold storage to work on the drive down dock facility. So please pay attention. We'll put notices up and block stuff off, and we know it is an inconvenience for everyone. And it is expected that we've moved the bidding on the announcement on the crane dock to January. We're getting some feedback from contractors that with the holidays it was going to make it really hard for them to get information from suppliers. So we've moved, we'll do the bid announcement in January, and you know, probably bids due February, March-ish. gives them enough time to get information from suppliers and to give us good bids. And that's all I had, unless there's questions.
Any questions of the city manager? I have a question. It might be more directed to Carl about the recycle program when it comes out. You have to sign up for that. Is there going to be any kind of a notification in the billing? Bill sent out to people that they have to sign up for it to be?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The program will, we're actually going to approach it in many different ways to get the information out there. We will use a note on the utility bill directing people to the website where we'll have detailed information on the program, how to sign up, and how it will be run. And we'll be using the local paper as well and the radio station to get the word out when we get closer to the program actually commencing.
Okay, I figured you'd be well, well advertised, so thanks. Just curious. Any other questions of the manager?
Yeah, this is one for Carl also. Carl, if you're already getting recycling services, do you have to re-sign up?
No. Anybody that is currently signed up for curbside will not have to re-sign up. We will just transfer you over to the new program.
Okay.
Great. That brings us to unfinished business. Ordinances for third and final reading. First one is Ordinance 2013-18, an ordinance providing for Chapter 9.12 of the Municipal Code, entitled Littering, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation. This is the third and final reading. I entertain a motion to adopt this in its third reading.
So move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Haverlick to adopt Ordinance 2013-18 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Hole?
Yes.
That ordinance passes in its third and final reading, 6-0. Next ordinance for third reading is 2013-19,
an ordinance providing for the Harbors and Ports Department and Advisory Board, third and final reading. The ordinance has been amended in section 3.46.020 to designate that a vacancy on the board is created in the same manner as vacancies on the assembly as set out in borough charter. So, minor change. Entertain a motion to adopt ordinance 2013-19.
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved by Member Loganakis, seconded by Member Walhooter. Any discussion? Mr. O?
Mr. Mayor, I'll be voting against the ordinance because I believe it should be an appointed board, not an elected board.
Okay. Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Kurt?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John O?
No.
John Heberle?
Yes. Okay, ordinance 2013-19 passes in its third and final reading, 5-1. Okay, ordinance 2013-20, an ordinance providing for a borough health officer, fire department, police department, and retention of a five-member elected advisory board. It's the short title. Third and final reading. The ordinance has been amended to include that vacancies on the board are created the same as on the assembly as expressed in borough charter. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
I so move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Loganakis, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt ordinance 2013-20 in its third and final reading. Any discussion? Mr. Hogue?
Mr. Mayor, I will be voting against this because I do not see the need for the police advisory board at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Nancy?
Yes.
John Heberle?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
John Hogue?
No.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2013-20 passes in its third and final reading, 5-1. Okay, now we go on to ordinances for a second reading. There's one ordinance tonight. It's ordinance 2013-22, an ordinance providing for a fine schedule for the municipal code and including a section addressing injunctive and civil relief. It's a second reading. Entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
So move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to adopt ordinance 2013-22 in its second reading. Any discussion? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Cindy?
Yes.
John Poe?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Ordinance 2013-22 passes in its second reading, 6-0. Next item is Juneau appeal of Petersburg borough boundaries. There's no new information yet. That could be as late as February when we get the judge's ruling on that. I hope sooner, but that's how long he has. Next item F, is a request from Pilot Publishing for the release of the whole document of which the Assembly on December 2nd, 2013 approved to release the great majority of the document, but not the whole document. Entertain a motion to approve this request. Mr. Hogue?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the pilot's request and release the whole document.
I'll second.
It's been moved by Member Hogue, seconded by Member Loganakis to release the whole document from the attorney as requested from the Petersburg pilot. Discussion? Mr. Havlick?
Mr. Mayor, I would vote against this just for two reasons. One is the advice of the attorney to not release it, and the idea of client lawyer confidentiality, that we should have some rights in that regard on discussions with our attorney. And if he's giving us the wrong advice and we should release this, then I think we probably should get another lawyer. That's all I had to say.
Any other discussion on this issue? In the last meeting, I voted to release the whole document, and I think at some point along the line of this discussion between the borough and the medical center with issues at hand, that most of the stuff in this will probably be discussed anyway, so I will be voting in favor of this request. Just my two cents. Any other?
I'll still be voting against for the same reasons why I have an attorney if we aren't going to listen to his advice.
I feel that way most of the time. Will the clerk call the roll if there's no more discussion?
This is to release the whole document.
Yes.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
John Haberlick.
No.
Nancy.
No.
Kurt.
Yes.
Okay, it's passed to release the whole document as requested from the Petersburg Pilot, 4-2. Okay, that moves us on to authorization to solicit public comments regarding by-mail elections. At the December 2nd, 2013 meeting, the Assembly expressed desire to acquire public opinion about the possibilities of the borough converting to by-mail elections for our local municipal elections. The clerk's office is proposing the Assembly seek public opinion via the newspaper, radio, internet, and from now until the second meeting in January. During this time frame, the clerk's office will gather information on estimated costs and turnout expectations by mail-in elections. It is hoped with the resident comments and gathered information, the Assembly will be able to provide direction on the rewrite of the election ordinance at the second meeting in January. So I would entertain a motion to authorize this to take place, soliciting information.
Mr. Mayor, I move that the clerk's office be authorized to conduct information and inquire about public opinion for voting by mail.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Member Hogue and seconded by Member Haverlick to authorize this to take place. Any discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
John Hogue?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
And Nancy?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0, so we'll know more in January about the information on the mail-in ballots. Brings us to new business. First item under new business is Ordinance 2013-23, an ordinance providing for Chapter 3.52, Public Library of the Municipal Code, updating current language to reflect borough incorporation and providing for the retention of an elected library board for the borough. I'd entertain a motion to adopt this in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
And moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Walhooter to adopt Ordinance 2013-23. Any discussion? Mr. Hogue.
Mr. Mayor, I'll be voting against it because I believe the library board should be appointed.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll?
John Hogue.
No.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Haverlick.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes.
And Nancy.
Yes.
Okay, it passes 5-1. Ordinance 2013-23 in the first reading. Next item is Ordinance 2013-24, an ordinance adjusting the fiscal year 2014 budget for known changes. Borough Charter requires that any changes to the annual municipal budget be done through ordinance. Ordinance 2013-24 acknowledges receipt of the State Interlibrary Cooperative Grant of $16,940 and appropriates $33,000 of motor pool funds for the unanticipated purchase of a replacement power and light truck. So I entertain a motion to adopt this ordinance.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt this with the change of the motor pool purchase going from 33 to 36.5.
Okay, we could do that under an amendment, but that's fine if that's the way that's going to be worded. Cindy, or is there a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by the motion made by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Strand to adopt Ordinance 2013-24 in its first reading. Discussion. And that was the change that you're talking about that Carl emailed us about the two-wheel drive, four-wheel drive. Good thing you caught it now. We didn't end up with a two-wheel drive truck. Okay, any other discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Hogue.
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2013-24 passes in its first reading. Brings us to ordinance 2013-25, an ordinance providing for new chapters 11.04 through 11.20 of Title 11, the Borough Traffic Code. The ordinance would adopt new traffic provisions for the borough to replace certain existing provisions of the municipal code and to leave in place the current parking restrictions and regulations applicable within service area 1 only. Entertain a motion to adopt this in its first reading.
So move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Walherter, seconded by Member Strand to adopt ordinance 2013-25 in its first reading. Discussion? Nancy, do you want to bring?
I have a question about, is this the one with the bicycles and the skateboards?
I thought that's what you were talking about earlier today.
This is the one.
At some point it says in here that in those places that skateboarding is allowed, they have to yield right away to bicycles and cars. And I have a problem with that because both bicycles and cars have brakes and skateboards don't. It just seems strange.
The that section of the ordinance was not modified. That's the way the old ordinance was written. Looking back at it, it seemed that there was probably some sort of problem that the assembly or then council was trying to address. I haven't had any complaints regarding skateboarders or near misses with skateboarders, so we left it as is. If the assembly would like to change it, we could certainly modify
it. I just question the...
Remember Hogue?
I do remember the discussion on this, and there was problems. And while they may not have brakes, we hope they do due regards because they can appear in front of a car awfully quickly. So,
well, I've come closer to hitting more bicycles that run stop signs than I have skateboarders anywhere.
Well, does that mean you want to give the skateboarders
okay,
a free pass?
Get recognized by the chair, and then we'll have a
question
discussion.
Why there's all this restriction on skateboards and nothing on bicycles.
I think we need to keep an order and be recognized by the chair to keep the meeting in order. Member Havlick?
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I think the other reason this was brought up is there were a number of incidents where the skateboarders were coming down Hagen and a couple of the other side streets right onto Main Street, and a couple close misses with cars going down Main Street. That happened a number of times, and that's one of the reasons this was brought up.
Yeah, I can't remember. I remember the discussion taking place. I don't remember the details of it, but there were some streets at the time that were closed to skateboarders.
And they still are.
Yeah, so does that take care of the problem? Is that
might have.
The chief feels would like to make an amendment to it somehow to change it or leave it as is for the first reading.
As the chief said, we didn't change any of those portions. We left them alone.
Right. Well, if there's no more discussion, will the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Mayor, one last little comment here. I can't leave this alone. in all due respect, it's just a natural selection.
Just a what?
It's all about natural selection.
Okay.
I'm done.
Will the clerk call the roll?
Mark.
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
John Haverlick?
Yes.
John Cole?
Yes.
And Kurt?
Yes.
Okay. The next item on the agenda, authorization to enter a professional services agreement with P&D Engineers not to exceed $622,424 for contract administration and inspection services for the construction of the drive-down facility project, which we awarded the bid to TAMCO earlier this evening. I'd entertain a motion to authorize this.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Walhooter, seconded by Member Lagadakis to authorize to enter into a professional services agreement with P&D for the contract administration and inspection of the drive-down facility. Discussion? Member Hogue?
I would inquire of staff, is there any attempt to solicit an RFP for various engineer projects? This is a significant amount of money.
I can speak to a portion of that, and then I'll let Glow jump in. RFPs were done way back in the beginning of the drive-down facility to a certain extent, although P&D was pretty much a lock because of the knowledge of the harbor and the work they'd done previously. At this point in that project, it might be really difficult to have a different engineer to come in to be the inspector since it's actually been designed by P&D. But so we did not break it out into the design as compared to the inspection part of it. So to answer the question directly, we did not do RFPs for this portion. We did it for kind of the whole project. But doesn't mean we couldn't. Now, Glo, did I say any of that right or wrong?
No, that's right. That was kind of the long-range plan. This is an ongoing project. The only other concern that we have is that there is that 2009 money is sunsetting here in July. So I don't know if we have the luxury of spending much time on this to try and get a better number. They did come down $70,000 in the original conceptual plan for this project, so it is down further than where we started.
Any other discussion on this authorization? I personally agree with Mr. Hoag. This seems like a lot of money for to administer, you know, an inspection of the project. Is that pretty standard? I mean, I guess this question is addressed to Gloriana. This is on top of their design, correct?
Right.
So the percentage of the project is fairly large.
It is.
Yeah. Gloriana and I met with Dick Somerville earlier on in this and kind of discussed it. And they did come, as she said, they came off about $70,000. This involves them going down to, was it Seattle, where the floats were being built to inspect them there, as well as on site here inspecting the installation. And granted, it is very, very technical. Everything has to be done just the right way at the right time to meet all of the different timetables associated with the project. I'm like everyone else. I would love another alternative to make P&D a little more competitive. I just don't know if this is the project to do it on. We're running out of time on it, we could try to make it work if you wanted to go that way.
Well, I agree with you and Gloria and both. It's kind of late in the game for it. I'd feel better about it if it gave us a 1 or 2 year warranty on the project, but we know that doesn't happen either. So, any more discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Cindy?
Yes.
John Ho?
Yes.
John Haberlick?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Okay, it passes 6-0. Okay, communications. There was a notification from Wrangell to desire to work with Petersburg and SEPA, Southeast Alaska Power Agency, to provide a conversion plan for the transfer of operations and maintenance of the Taiyi Hydro Facility from Thomas Bay Power Authority to SEPA. And they sent us a copy of their resolution. So I guess this is, I'd entertain a motion to agree to work with Wrangell and SEPA to go through these negotiations.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved by Member Haverlick, seconded by Member Walhooter to at some point have negotiations between Wrangell and SEPA, and I don't know if Ketchikan should be involved in it too. I'm sure
they're
not involved with Thomas Bay Power Authority, so I feel this is going to be an ongoing discussion until it actually takes place, and maybe a meeting between SEPA board or CEO and members of the assemblies from the different towns. So, any more discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I just have two questions on the whereas. I know this is going to be later discussions, but I just want to put those in so they're put into these later discussions. And one is on the cost sharing. We originally were wanting SEPA to absorb the cost. In the Wrangell, whereas it's saying the cost share should be divided equally.
The other is that it's asking SEPA to make whole the employees for at least 2 years from TBPA, and I'd like to put another add-on there that only if those people, those employees, meet or exceed expectations on their evaluations. I don't feel that SEPA should be given employees no matter what and have to make them whole for 2 years no matter what their performance.
Yeah, I agree with some things in their resolution that I might like to see worded differently, but I think it could be, in my mind, it'd be good to wait and see what kind of a response SEPA comes back to them with.
Sure.
You know, and then go from there. But I agree there's some things that might be changed before this gets agreed on. So, any other discussion? The clerk call the roll.
Cindy.
Yes.
John Poe.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
John Haberlich.
Yes.
Nancy.
Yes.
And Kurt.
Yes.
Okay, that passes 6-0. We will have some kind of meeting in the future, I'm sure, a joint meeting. Recognitions. This agenda item is reserved to acknowledge individuals, groups, departments, agencies, or anyone for their contributions toward the betterment of the Petersburg community. Any recognitions this evening? Donnie.
Yeah, Mayor, Assembly, I just would like to take a second, and I feel like I do this all the time, but it's important to all the businesses that that help support Parks and Recreation, especially this past Saturday when we had Breakfast with Santa Claus, which is a free community event, which, you know, lots of the young kids are able to see Santa Claus, get free pictures with him. Papa Bear's Pizza provides all the pizza, breakfast pizzas for free for the kids and for the families that are there. There's just lots of businesses. I can name them. Temsco Helicopters bring Santa Claus in for us for free. Wells Fargo comes and serves all the food for us. And so I just want to thank all the businesses for continually supporting us. And then also I'd like to thank my staff members, Heidi Cabral and Hannah Jackson, who spent a lot of time organizing and preparing and making an absolute wonderful day for all those kids.
All right, great. Then Cindy, you had a recognition?
I just wanted to acknowledge the donors to the artwork to the library. As that gets installed, it just becomes a nicer and nicer facility. There are a ton of people using the library, and it you've done us proud. It's really a wonderful place to be.
I don't have the numbers, and Tara couldn't be here tonight, but I think the usage in the library is up like huge numbers. So it's being used well.
Good. Any other recognitions by anyone? John?
I'd like to thank the manager and the chief for working on getting more cooperation on drug interdiction issues. This is a longstanding problem in our community with drug abuse and all the costs to the members of it.
Totally agree. Thanks. Okay. Any more recognitions? Seeing none, that brings us to the next item, discussion on the Burroughs Salvage Program. The Assembly passed Ordinance 2013-17 in its final reading on December 2nd, 2013. There was not a clear direction to the staff if the Assembly wanted to further discuss the community's salvaging program and or hold a public hearing on the program. To aid the Assembly in discussion, Carl put together the packet that we discussed earlier. So I guess it's open for discussion.
Mr. Mayor, I was just going to say, I mean, it can actually be boiled down to something pretty simple, which is, do you want us to continue to have a commercial aspect of our salvage or not? The rest is pretty much, you know, how do we price it and all that other stuff that comes into play. But it's, do you want a commercial salvage program, or do you want it just kept at the daily, you know, somebody looking for a knob for a washing machine or a part for a car? That's really the meat of the issue.
Right, and that's the way the recommendation was written, was to have things used within the borough, or they wouldn't leave the facility, is the way I read it. Before, any other comments, Mr. Ho?
I would like to pursue this with a hearing, with a public hearing on the issue. I would like to give Carl and his staff time to respond to Mr. Whitethorn's comments and get a dialogue between the commercial people and the staff. So let's see what kind of agreement or not agreement there is on numbers, so we know whose ox is getting gored for how much, quite frankly.
last week I traveled to Ketchikan for a basketball tournament and had dinner with assembly or council member down there, Bob Sievertson, and he used to work at the landfill in Ketchikan, and he's still involved with its operation. And they have commercial salvaging in their facility. And there's certain parts of the facility that are off limits. You know, if the borough, it's the city down there, sees something that comes in, they take it and put it in an off limits section, and then the rest of it's up for grabs. And they have strict rules that if, you know, if you don't follow the rules, you're get your permit taken away. So I agree. I think there should be a public hearing.
And maybe staff could look into Ketchikan and other programs in Southeast to give us some ideas.
Yeah, get some comparisons.
Yeah.
I know they do things differently. They charge everybody in the borough a monthly fee, you know, whether you're connected to the facility, the road system or not. So all kinds of interesting ideas, different ideas. So any other discussion? Well, I guess then we need to have a public hearing scheduled for this. Is that the consensus of the assembly? Do we need to vote on that? Or I feel it would be good to get more input.
Anybody? Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I think a more informal setting would allow people to publicly get up and speak their mind and give us more ideas. So I'd be in favor.
So not incorporated into a regular borough meeting then?
What was Mr. Hogue's pleasure on that public meeting?
Well, I don't think we have other than an ad hoc committee, I don't think we have any other forum, and it would strike me that we've gone this far, we might as well keep going and have the public meeting here. Do it in a meeting at the time when we're not going to keep people up all night. This isn't a do-it-tomorrow issue. We got to give staff time to do a report. I'd like to have them communicating and publish things in advance or drafts so that Mr. Whitethorn and other people that have commercial interests can respond to them, and we can get all the information to try to make an informed decision as to whether to do anything.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a suggestion that our second meeting in January is an evening meeting, and to have a public hearing at 6 o'clock right before our council meeting.
Works for me. That work for Kathy? Can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Is that enough time for staff to gather information?
Oh, sure, yeah.
So that would make it on the 20th of January.
Is Martin Luther King Jr. Day a city holiday?
Yes, I believe it is.
Is that on that day?
So it would be the Tuesday, huh?
Oh, that's okay. Second meeting in January is on Tuesday.
Oh, good catch.
Okay. I think we've discussed that. Any other discussion on that topic this evening? Okay, I guess we'll talk about it in a public meeting. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Okay.
Well done.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.